Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
It's spinning! Jonathan Sexton has made it!
Do you feel moderately happy?
No, I feel like I've been kissing my sister, I suppose.
In the pocket for his drop goal attempt, here he goes, O'Gara! He's done it! That surely is the grand slam!
We target players all the time, that's part of rugby, isn't it? Let me know.
Sexton, wonderful pass and Stockdale finishes.
There'll be more than grenades. There'll be full tanks and full shells landing on the Aviva.
Grand Slam winners on St. Patrick's Day at Twickenham.
Now, we're delighted to say our next guest has made time for us. I'm sure it's a very busy week in amongst lots of busy weeks. Conor O'Shea, Italian head coach. You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Pleasure.
So what are you up to today then? What's an afternoon a few days out from an Ireland game?
I'm just actually doing some World Cup planning at the moment. In the background, you might hear us. We've had a pretty light day. We went up to Amatrice yesterday, which was pretty humbling. I don't know, like 2 years ago, it was destroyed by an earthquake, and it's still, you know, pretty much a destroyed town centre, which was, we trained with the under-20s, and then today, light, because we're kind of treating Wednesday through to Sunday, if this makes sense, as our normal Tuesday through to Saturday. So we've done all our clarity and kind of got rid of any knocks and bruises from the weekends that some of the guys had come in with, and we can have a good preparation leading into it.
Six Nations is a clearly very intense time for everybody, not least coaches. Do you take some time off in the gap week?
Yeah, well, I think it's important, you know, just to try and clear the head and, you know, get yourself ready, because it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're at the top of the tree or whether you're fighting like we are to try and get back to the top of the tree or join the elite again. There's different expectations, there's different pressures, and we live in a very immediate world. We live in a world that is always expecting the best the whole time. So you just have to steel yourself to, what I say to our guys is always just come back with the same energy to go about it and get ready for the next fight, the next challenge. And the next fight, the next challenge for us is as big as it gets against Ireland this week.
Yeah, it sure is. I presume that's one of the biggest elements of your job is to manage energy levels and mood and morale. Like, you read things, you know, Sergio Parisse, you read, like, he's 100 test losses to his name. It's one of the most unfair and extraordinary stats around in rugby. So, you know, when you're on a losing streak, say in the Six Nations, and I know there are wins in between Six Nations, managing mood and just energy levels must be difficult at times.
Yeah, well, it's one of the big challenges, but it's a fascinating challenge, not just personally to do it yourself, to keep on coming back, but also within the squad. And I think if you can't show or demonstrate both hope and progression, then you're in trouble. But if you start looking at games and you can see that there is that hope and the progression that we feel that we're putting in place for a lot of things, in a lot of the work we've done in the last couple of years, we feel we're really beginning to make strides and climbing the mountain that we have in front of us. And it was things, you look at the Welsh game, and it was things that we controlled that really cost us. The game was in the balance and a fitness-related issue in that second half, and we didn't execute things. It was what we did, as opposed to, yeah, are there decisions from the referee and things? Of course there are. They're always in every game. So that's the real focus for us, is keeping the levels of intensity we're working at. Everyone dreams of having their best team on the pitch the whole time, but everyone has injuries. That's the nature of the game.
Yeah. So say like the Welsh game, where you are very much in the balance. You know, the game is in the balance and things are going reasonably well. And then, you know, it's key moments, isn't it? I think it was Padovani. There was a missed tackle, which I'm sure he beats himself up over. Which allows Wales score a try, and then suddenly the game just gets that little bit out of reach.
Yeah, it was so 19, but that's not really what you look at. You look at all the executions that happened before it and the opportunities. You know, would Wales have been kicking themselves? You think of, you know, we steal a ball in our line, Ian McKinley kicks at the length of the pitch, we chase, we harry, we don't get the turnover, then they box kick it, they give it to us again. We get turned over at the next carry because our reactions weren't quick enough. And that started giving them the field position. It's the delivery from Sergio to Gulo Palazzani off the top of a line out at 12-10. Those moments, and people forget them. They look at the final moment. They don't look at the moments that you have. You know, would Wales have been kicking themselves when Dan Biggar kicks the ball out in the full? Yes, they would. A bad kick gives us field position, but our delivery off the top of that line out, and those moments create momentum, those moments create pressure. And the energy we didn't have, whether it's, you know, the missed penalty just before halftime, you know, and then we get a penalty, is a lead, is a lead to give that real energy to start holding on to something and mentally turn that pressure onto the other team. Because the next score, we're not famous, and that next score is always the winning score. And, you know, we know the scale of the challenge that we have in every game we play. We know, I don't even need to try and justify what we're trying to, what we're attempting to do here, and the work that we've had to put in place. And we know it is hard, because we're competitive people. You get your energy from winning, and you talk to me straight after a game, it is hard. And we've beat, you know, Fiji, Georgia, Japan away from home over the last 18 months. What we can't and haven't been able to do is sustain the performance to an extent against the top tier teams. And we're getting there, you know, bit by bit, but we really finally believe, despite all the players that you can name, like every team can, that are missing. And I suppose, like Scotland now, you look at Scotland now compared to the team we played, and you see them without Finn Russell, Stuart Hogg, Ryan Wilson, Hugh Jones, WPNL. Yeah. They're a different animal to the one that started the championship, and every team goes through it. But I think the teams with the lower playing numbers are obviously going to have that lesser depth of player. That is, and you cannot get away from that.
Yeah.
But we've improved in so many areas, as everybody else has. And we just can't wait. I just can't wait to get stuck in again. And it's a, you know, we have yet to perform against Ireland. And it's a team we have in terms of where they are at and where we're at. But we believe that we're in a completely different place now. You can chalk off the Chicago game. That was the game between you know, two teams that were looking ahead to different things. But we believe we're in a radically different place in terms of our ability to sustain the intensity at this level. It is no surprise or magic thing that we have finished both games strongly in games where the ball has been in play for 42 minutes. We can sustain that level now. Against Ireland, we have to go to a different level, because you look at the tackle count you have to make. Every top team have to play against Ireland.
Yeah.
The number of tackles they have to make if they're going to be in the game against Ireland is humongous. You have to look to be making in excess of 200 tackles in a game against Ireland, and that is whether it's the All Blacks, whether it's Italy. You have to be ready to do that, and that's what we have to be ready to do this weekend.
It's funny to get the opposition perspective on that for a moment, because here we're all navel-gazing, obviously, and we're wondering if, you know, 274-odd rooks across two games is too many, and if it's the best way for Ireland to play. But when you put it in those terms, obviously it's not that much fun to play against either. It's incredibly demanding.
It's an unbelievable, and especially for the forwards, an unbelievably demanding challenge. But, you know, and that's why I say it comes back to the intensity, the repeated intensity you can do things, the quicker you get in. You know, you hear it the whole time from everyone you interview, probably, the quicker you get off the floor, the quicker you get back into position. And one of our challenges is to ensure that we have that ability to repeatedly be able to live with that intensity. And we believe that we have made huge strides in the way we train and in the way some of the players are conditioning. You look at the performances of Treviso, and the credit goes to Kieran Crowley and the guys in Treviso for that.
Yeah.
Zebra have been hit with injuries to so many players. The poor old Brad's been dealt a pretty tough gig this year, but they're improving in terms of their whole structures. And that's the job. There is no magic wand over here. Yeah. You can't just... I know we live in a different world, but we have to have a real mental durability about what we are, and not in it for ourselves, we're in it for Italian rugby and what we can do for it. And I just hope that our guys go out and get a start this week that will allow us to show, I'm not talking about winning or losing, a performance of intensity and hunger that people can see everywhere, the progress that we're making. And it is one heck of a mountain, don't get me wrong. This is a hard gig, but it's one that, when you have hope and progression, when you see people changing, you can keep going, because it's worthwhile. And then you, and if you're there at the end of the journey, great. But if you're part of the journey, so it's all the same to me.
Yeah. So if you're talking about big improvements made when it comes to intensity and, I suppose, fitness, what's the next frontier for Italian rugby over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years? Is it to do with game management? Is it to do with skill set? Is it psychology? What's jumping out at you? I know everything needs to improve all the time.
Everything. It's a multifaceted thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
In terms you know, you talk about confidence. So I talked even, you know, 12-10 from minute 40 or minute 43 to minute 52, 53 in that game. It's not fitness. It's who scores next. It's who gets the, who believes they'll score. And that comes from winning on a regular basis. Hence why I talked about Treviso. I think it's control of the younger players. So take it, for the last 3 years, Italy have beaten Scotland under 20 level. Well, you know, that's an interesting stat for people. And last year, Italy beat England under 18 level. Ooh, that's interesting as well. Italy have beaten Ireland. There are young players coming through, but the system and environment they're put into, that's a major, you know, is it something that will benefit? We trained against the under-20s yesterday, and boy, you talk about having traditional strengths. The two tight heads were absolutely ridiculous, and I'm a fullback. I don't know much about them, but I know pretty good players. And you look at some of the young players that have come through, Marco Riccioni and Joshua Izzolocchi, another two tight ends. So the traditional strengths are there, but we need to put them in the right environment, but they need to arrive to a confidence environment. So you can't just... I laugh a lot of times. I've learned a huge amount in the last, you know, 2.5-3 years about culture, about... I'm not talking about the culture of an organization, the culture of a country. You can't change a culture of a country. You can embrace it. And we are in a country that doesn't change very quickly, but it is changing. And they realize they have to. And we want to put them into the right sort of environment so they can grow into the players. But you don't have a school system. My dad, God rest his soul, died before Christmas. And I went for a run with my wife the morning of the wedding and ran past my old school and saw all the kids out playing, you know, their matches against St. Michael's at under 8s, 9s, 10s. You know, you see the pitch is full. It's different. That doesn't mean it's wrong, but there's a real hotbed that was always there in Irish rugby, always there in Irish rugby to be tapped into. The school system in Leinster, not this magic thing that's suddenly been there. It's always been there, but they gave it the right system to be able for those young players to thrive.
Yeah.
And then you have this throughput. It's not something magical that's been done. It was actually just doing the right things for the young guys and giving them a system.
Yes, okay.
They grew into a system that had belief from your O'Driscolls and from your Darcy's and from your Horgan's. So it becomes, but it didn't just happen.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you think we're talking about the All Blacks and things change week to week. So like 6 years ago, Ireland nearly beat the All Blacks, lost by 3 points with, you know, Brian and Paul and Rog and all the household. The following week, they lose by 60. What's that? That's psychology.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. It really is. I love it. It's a challenge. As I say, you get your energy and you have to come back for more, and there'll be another challenge this week, and then we'll dust down, and then it's an easy one and twicking them away, and then it's France at home, and we'll just keep on going. But when you see progression, you have hope.
Yeah.
And if we make other changes to our system as time goes on, we'll get to where we need to here.
Condolences on your father, by the way. I presume, regardless of what age you are, that's just the most devastating landmark, or one of the most devastating landmarks. Maybe Six Nations a bit of a distraction from all that.
Listen, we gave him the send off. He, of course, you miss him. It doesn't matter what age. He was an incredible influence, and I think one of the things he always said to me was, "Do the ordinary things well, and the extraordinary will look after itself." And it's a good saying to have when you're going into any match. People think it's magic. It's just doing simple things well, and then the extraordinary can happen. So,
No,
we'll always miss him. And he was a massive impact on a lot of people's lives, not just ours. But we gave him a right old send-off, it has to be said.
Good. I saw you make the point, and I'll let you go now because I presume you are up against it, that you have done it in the past, and I think the intention is to do it again, that you might sit down with Joe Schmidt on the Monday morning after the game, and he's generous enough to let you know what weaknesses he may have identified in the Italian team or what analysis he did on the team. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I did it certainly last year in Ireland because we had a week off and I stayed over for a couple of days straight after the game and arranged to meet him. It mightn't be as easy to meet him straight after the game this time unless he wants to come to Rome for a coffee. maybe he will. But no, listen, Joe, we've been, as I said, he's the first to say that it didn't just all happen with him. There's a lot of people that worked to make it happen over a number of years. But I think Irish people, I thought the reaction to the England loss was nothing short of histrionics and laughable, to be honest. Absolutely laughable. There's a divine right to win any game of rugby when you're playing against top teams and when you're playing against the likes of the Vunipolas and Two Laggies in full flow. And then to say that they were beaten out of sight when it's actually a game decided on fine margins. But that's the world we live in. We've been very, very lucky as a country to have Joe Smith, and I don't know what he'll do afterwards. I'll certainly be picking his brains for hopefully many, many years to come. The fact that he's living close to my parents or to my mother now, I'll always have an eye on him.
Yeah, and as a matter of interest, when he sits down with you maybe last year and tells you, well, we identified this, this, this and this, are you sitting there going, yeah, I know all about that, tell me about it? Or in certain areas are you going, oh, crap, I need to do something about that?
No. The more fascinating, because I was able to go back to the players, even though you know it yourself,
is
cause and effect and how you give energy. So how a mistake we made at the start of the match, allowing them momentum, didn't necessarily translate into a score, but it translated into a change of tack for them because they realised and they got confidence quickly.
Okay.
It was one job one of our players hadn't done, and you're able to go, even though we knew it, saying they saw straight away on the pitch, they were able to look, and with someone like Johnny or Joey, because he plays what he sees in front, they're able to do these things. So it's more affirmation. You relate it to a school teacher principle. You get people in from the outside, they'll say exactly the same thing as you, but it'll be a different voice, and suddenly it's an amazing thing, you know. But he's just such a he's a very engaging guy, and I mean he lives and breathes rugby, and it's nice to be able to sit down and have a conversation. Maybe the longer we go, the more competitive we come, the less willing he'll be his information.
Yeah, but you can take it as a compliment when he stops having those coffees with you. I think I saw you make the point that you look forward to a time in the future when maybe you're having a beer in the crowd and Italian rugby is doing really well, and you can say, well, I played a small part in that. Do you see your role now as very, very much head coach and working on the team as they go in the Six Nations and the World Cup? Or are you more broad strokes, director of rugby in the country kind of approach and trying to get the systems right? What takes up the bulk of your time?
No, I think there's great people like Steve Abood is here, Franco Arfoni, who's the head of rugby in Italy, and they're the guys that are driving what the future of Italian rugby will be. We're just here a bit like Joe, just to be part of hopefully a process that puts Italian rugby back to where it needs to be. And I get irritated beyond belief when I hear people talking about not just Italy. I think people would seriously just like three or four competitive teams in the world if their team was winning the whole time and everyone else you just cast aside. Our job in rugby is to make sure that we don't allow Romania, Georgia, Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, Canada, you look where they are, and we play them in the World Cup, all the teams. We need to develop this game, and we want to play a part in that. And this has just been it's an unbelievable challenge, but it's an unbelievable opportunity. It's an unbelievable, responsible country, and we could learn a lot by actually coming to a country like Italy and understanding the things that they do well, just like we're trying to understand the things that they can do better. And the marriage of both would be a tremendous thing. So it's a long, long job, this one. It's not something, but you have to understand that you might just play a small part in it. And someone will come in and go, why didn't you do A, B, C, and D? Well, we have to do a lot more as well. So listen, we're just getting ready for the challenge this weekend, and I'm just looking forward to it. We have to embrace the challenge, because if we go into it, and we've started the whole week off with that mindset, if we go into it going, we're playing the number two side in the world, you have that mentality, you're dead. We want to go out and make sure that we take the game to Ireland. And if Ireland are better, no big deal in that. But we want to make sure that we give an energetic performance, a physical performance, an intense performance, and see where it takes us, and let people laugh at what I say if they want to. They can, no problems. That's the way they are. We want to go out and do our country proud with the resources we have, and see where that takes us. And if that means, 33-20 against Scotland, 26-15 against Wales in the Six Nations, we'll see where the next match takes us, and we'll just keep on trying to climb this mountain.
Yeah, well, look, the enthusiasm is obvious, which is great. You're clearly enjoying it and enjoying the challenge. Have you thought about extending your stay or trying to extend your stay beyond the World Cup, or is that just way too far ahead?
It's too far. It's something we've discussed, and I know that it's nice to know that if they want me to stay beyond that. I'm certainly, you'll have to put up with me for another Six Nations anyway, at the very least. But But it's not something I think you have to be realistic. It's not just a decision. It's a decision. There's only so long people will listen to if we don't win matches, no matter how, what progress we're making. And everyone's incredibly supportive and realistic. And I get an unbelievable support here. And there's also the family. There's so many things to consider. So I just want to, you know, live for the present, prepare for the World Cup as well, which you're kind of doing in the middle of the Six Nations. But get ready for Ireland, England, France. Then we go, you know, warm up against Ireland, Russia. Then we have England and France again before the World Cup. And then we've got the easy games against South Africa and New Zealand. Quarterfinal, hopefully, against Ireland. That would be the dream.
That would be great, yeah.
I know why you're saying that.
No. We're right behind you on that front. Very best of luck to a point, to a degree, the very best of luck on Sunday. But I think it's fair to say everybody would dearly love to see Italy and you get a big Six Nations win at some stage soon. So hopefully that's around the corner, Conor. Thanks a million.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.